How are you? Good morning. How are you? Awesome. I'll just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, my God, we exalt your holy name this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time that is before us, my God. And Lord, we commit it into your hands, oh God. Lord, right now, I step aside and I say, Holy Spirit, take over. God, I declare an open heaven in this house this morning. And I declare that the word that you bring through me, oh God, is a word that cuts and separates spirit, soul, and body, my Lord. I pray that you sow a seed in every one of our lives, oh God, and you keep watering that seed throughout the week, throughout the months, throughout the years, oh my God. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How's everyone feeling? That's good. The weather is a bit. I'm not sure. Am I liking it? Yes. Glad it's not hot, but then I'm like, oh, where are all my winter clothes? I have to dig them out. Amen. Just this morning, I'm gonna preach on who told you that. Amen. So those who were here when I shared a few weeks back, I ended on that phrase, "Who told you that?" And it comes from Genesis 3, verse 11. This is when Adam and Eve had sinned. And God had come into the garden as was his custom. Like he would come every day of an evening. And this day he came and he couldn't find them. And he's calling, he's like, Adam, Adam, where are you? And Adam's like, we're hiding, God, we're naked. And verse 11 says, so this is God talking. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not? Amen. So that's where I'm coming from. Like there's situations that I live in, that you live in, that contradict the word of God. Yet we believe them as the truth. So this morning I'm here to challenge us further by saying, who told you that? You can finish that off in your mind. Who told you that you had to live in sickness? Who told you that you had to live in lack? Who told you that you were hopeless, like there's no hope for you. Amen. So these are the lies the devil wants us to believe. Our past, no matter how horrible it is, does not predetermine our future. Amen. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God is in my tomorrow already. And God does not want the pain I'm experiencing today to be the same pain I'm experiencing tomorrow. Amen. So many people, many of us, we are bound in lies and mindsets that are keeping us from fulfilling the promises that God has spoken over our lives. Amen. So God is bigger than any mistake that you've made. God is bigger than any error you've made or someone's made that's affected your life. So God is sovereign. So every time God looks at you, God looks at me, he's so overwhelmed with love. Amen. He does not see that thing that you did yesterday or that thing that you did 20 years ago. All he sees is his daughter, is his son that he absolutely loves beyond anything. Amen. So one of the tactics that the devil keeps us from us seeing ourselves as God has created us, he uses shame. Amen. Shame. Merriam-Webster defines shame, the dictionary. Defines shame as a feeling of guilt, of regret, or sadness that you have because you know you've done something wrong. The ability to feel guilt, regret, or embarrassment, dishonor, or disgrace. Amen. So guilt tells you've done something wrong. Shame, on the other hand, tells you are something wrong. Amen. And that's one of the strategies the devil uses in every one of our lives to keep us, from believing what the Bible says. The Bible says we're heirs, co-heirs with Christ. But if I have shame in my life, if I have shame that I'm feeling, there's no way that I can feel like I'm a co-heir with Christ. So shame tells you're not good enough. A lot of us carry shame, but we do not know what to do with it. So there are things in your past, there are things in my past that have happened and then they've tarnished our soul. And then we become guarded. So when you hear, you know, God loves you, you're like, how could God love me because I've done this? How could God love me because I grew up in a family that had whatever it is that it was in your family? Some of the things that bring about shame are physical abuse, emotional abuse, or just thinking you grew up in the wrong family. Maybe you've been abandoned by someone who was meant to love you. All these things bring shame in our lives. I've had my fair share of baggage of shame that I've had. One of them was I thought I caused my parents' divorce. My parents divorced in 1990 and I was 7 years old. And why I blamed myself is, before they used to fight, they used to scream, they used to, you know, do what angry parents do. And so my dad used to drop me off at school and pick me up at school. So my dad started having an affair with this lady, and he would come and pick me up with her. And when he would drop her at her house, then we would come home. So my mom, when she, at the end of the day, she would give me a bath, you know. So how was your day? What did you do? My story is more and more, this lady's name started to feature in my stories. I'm like, oh, we saw her. You know, she was amazing. Do you know what she said? She's going to buy me. She's going to buy me shoes. And genuinely, I felt real affection towards her because as a child, she's someone my dad hung out with. And she, you know, she was nice. And my mom started, you know, prodding more. She's like, okay, so who is she? What does she look like? Where do you pick her? Where do you meet her? Did you see her today? And I would just, you know, blurt it out. Then one day, my mom confronted my dad and said, who is this woman you're seeing? Blah, 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 blah. My mom walked out that day and they separated and they divorced. So in my mind, I always said to myself, if only I had kept quiet. If only I had not said her name. If only I had not shared those stories with my mom, then my parents would still be together. I don't think so. Probably was just the icing of the cake. But for years, I carried that guilt, you know. The shame of I caused destruction to come into my family. And at school, I didn't know anyone who came from a divorced family. So at school, as soon as the kids, you know, sometimes my dad, you know, the word spreads around the school. And I think I was the only one. It was a school of maybe 1,500 kids. I didn't know anyone else. Like back then in my country, it was taboo. You did not divorce. And so I had the shame of that I had to sort of hide that family secret. Some of my friends, you know, their parents were like, oh, you know, that's such an unchristian thing to do. We don't hang around with kids like that. So then I became an outcast. And then people, you know, some kids, you know, just start saying mean things to you. And so I carried this badge of shame. And when, like, people would ask me, how come your mom's got a last name, you've got a different last name to your mom? I was like, oh my gosh, I have to explain this again. And it really caused me to just withdraw from people, withdraw even from my family. And good thing is, I put myself into books, which was a good escape. I didn't go, you know, drugs and everything else. So I really put myself into books. That was my escape. And it affected my self-esteem. Both my parents love me equally the same, regardless of what happened. They still love me. But what I'm trying to tell you is, because of that shame, it affected different parts of my life. It affected who I thought I was. It affected how I interacted with other people. And all those were lies that the devil fed me. My parents' marriage, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. But that has got absolutely nothing to do with me. Amen? So I'll just read Genesis 3, verse 1 to 4. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, But God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Amen? So this is the strategy the devil used back then, is the strategy that he uses today to, you know, to affect the word that God has spoken into our lives. So the first thing he does, he puts doubt. He puts doubt in you. How many times have you, you know, you've been praying or you're at church and God speaks directly to your heart. You're like, yes, that is definitely a word from God for my life. 2 days later, you know, you're pondering the word and then you start having, would God say that? No, you know, I was just imagining those things. God wouldn't say that I'm going to get out of debt. That's just ridiculous. God wouldn't say that I'm going to be healed of this illness in my body. No, but God would have spoken that word to you, amen? So when you have a word from God and you get that word in a place where you're really and truly seeking him, when the devil puts those doubts, disregard the doubts, amen? Disregard the doubts, push the doubts aside and keep believing on the word of God that he gave you. Even if it's not God, it's better to believe that word, which is a positive word that builds you up, than to build that the lies that the enemy puts through our minds, amen? And the second thing he does, he attacks our trust. So our trust in God. Have you ever asked God, why did you not come through for me? I believed you. I gave my offering. I gave my tithes. But nothing is happening. Have you ever asked God that question? I've asked God that sometimes. Have you asked God, why do you keep blessing John, Jack, Mary? And yet, and they are not even in church. Yet I'm in church. I'm worshiping you, but you're not coming through. That's the devil attacking the trust that you have in God. Amen? And then the third thing that he does, he makes you question God's love. How many of us have said, would God love me? Like I would say to myself, why would God love me if I'm the one who I destroyed my family? I caused my parents to divorce and he clearly doesn't want people to divorce. So I was like, okay, there you go. God's canceled me. I believed that lie for a long time. The enemy's plan is to, one, destroy your relationship with God. And two, to instill fear in you. So fear of failure, fear of being unloved, fear, whatever fear that you've experienced over the years. He wants to hold us back. He does not want you and I to walk in victory. Amen? So I'm just going to go deeper into shame. Like shame is not something you can touch. It's not a physical thing. It's something we experience in our minds. I've been listening to Dr. Caroline Leaf. I encourage you to listen to her. She's a Christian neuroscientist who has done extensive research on the mind. And she says that thoughts are physical things, amen? So when you think of something, if there was like a scan on your brain, it would start to build a tree. Like, I don't know, you know those things that... It would start to build things. So thoughts are actually physical things. So when you think a good thought, your brain sends signals to your body, and then your body produces chemicals that affect whatever happens in your body. If you think bad thoughts, your brain sends signals to the rest of your body and produces toxic chemicals. And she's come up, one of the things she's come up with is 75 to 90% of illnesses in the world today are a direct result of our thought life, yeah? So like I said again, we experience shame in our minds. When we have shame, our bodies react. I'll tell you, there's a few years ago, one of my lecturers, Ethan became friends with one of my lecturer's kids, and they were really friendly, and I submitted this assignment I was embarrassed about. It was one of those assignments I was like, I put it in, I don't want to see him again. But Ethan started hanging out with my lecturer's son. And so I would see him, like when I'd go to pick Ethan up, I'd see him, I would hide. Or I'd start to feel you know, my heart racing, and I'll start, the taste in my mouth would become bitter, and I, my palms would just start to sweat, because I was like, what is he going to think when he sees me? And then he's going to, he'll be like, why would you submit such a, you know, a bad assignment? I remember Ethan was invited to, he's called Eddie, the son, Eddie's birthday party. I sent Gilbert. I was like, Gilbert, you can go. I'm not going to see him. My assignment came back. I didn't do as badly as I felt, but my body would react every time I would see him because I was embarrassed and I just felt shame. I had, yeah, students, you might, you might, you know, feel that sometimes. So when we, so I felt fear, I felt embarrassment. I started to avoid him. I started, you know, I just got out of my way so I wouldn't do that. And that's exactly how the devil works in our lives, amen? He puts this shame, and then maybe your divine connection is walking that way, but because of the shame you feel, you're not going to connect with them. You're, you know, you're supposed to walk into your victory, but because of shame, you exclude yourself from that situation that is going to make you walk in that victory, amen? Isaiah 53 verse 3, it says, it's talking about Jesus. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Amen. This verse is telling us that Jesus took our shame. Amen. So when Jesus took the cross, whatever shame that is in your life today, he already took you to the cross, amen. So today I am here to tell you that the days of living in shame are gone, amen. God, when he forgives, he forgives. He doesn't partially forgive or forgive that sin because it's not as big as the other sin. God's forgiveness is ultimate, amen. Shame robs us of our identity. Even if we have done things that are shameful, Romans 8 says, in verse 38 and 39, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen? Do you know what nothing in the Greek means? Nothing. Nothing. The translation is nothing. So there's nothing you've done or not done, you said or not said, that's going to separate you from the love of God. No shame is going to separate you from the love of God. No guilt is going to separate you from the love of God. So the moment you start excluding yourself from God's love, know that's a lie the enemy is using against you. Amen? God loves us the way we are, and we do not need to clean ourselves to come to God. Amen? We do not need to clean ourselves to come to God. There's times I've thought in my life, you know, when things have been going that I'm like, oh, you know, God wouldn't want to look down on me and see this thing in my life. And I'll be like, I should probably go and pray, but let me fix it first. Then I will go into the presence of God. That's a lie the enemy is putting. God wants us the way we are, whether we think we're clean or unclean. God wants us to continually just run into his presence. Think of a child just playing outside in the mud, and the dad or mom comes home. That child does not care that you're wearing Armani or Gucci or whatever. They will come and give you a hug. And that's exactly how God wants us to approach him. Amen? Shame. So shame comes with stuff. Amen? So today I've got a backpack, not a tent. Yeah. So imagine this is us. This is our lives, yeah? This is our lives. You know, God's paid the price, died on the cross for us, absolutely nothing. Then one day, I do something. I don't know. I steal sugar. So shame. I'm now ashamed. Shame comes. I've actually stolen sugar, by the way. So shame comes. So my mom comes in. Guess what? I'm embarrassed. Embarrassment adds to that shame. She goes to the kitchen. She's like, oh, what's the sugar on the floor? Avoidance. This is my life now. I've got avoidance. I'm carrying that in my soul. And then she asks, why is there sugar? I lie. You know, now I've got lies. It's my, oh, it was my brother. He's the one who did it. And then I've got lies. And then what else? I start to maybe have bitterness. Say, why is she asking me that? Why didn't she just give me the sugar in the first place? And I wouldn't have stolen it. Yeah? And then maybe I'll have anxiety. I'll have regret. I know that's a, you know, very basic example. Think of the worst thing. I could have killed someone, let's just say that. And that becomes my life. And so, as I walk around, Jesus has paid the price for me, but I've got this. And so he's like, oh, you know, let's run the race. I'm running my race. But I've got a load. Is that making sense? That shame comes with the baggage of other things, that it just pulls you back. When you're embarrassed, you do this. That's just like a universal. Shame, embarrassment, you put your head down. But in Psalm 3:3, it says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter of my head. Amen. So God is saying he is the lifter of our heads. Shame is saying, look down. You're not worthy to look up into God's eyes. You're not worthy to look up to the face of God. But God is saying he is the lifter of our heads. Amen. So God is pursuing us and does not want us to remain stuck where we are. Amen. So how do we deal with shame? To deal with shame, you need to remain grounded in the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is the answer for everything that we experience. So when a negative thought comes into your head that you're not good enough, or, you know, that's the biggest sin that any Christian's ever done on the face of the earth, you need to denounce those lies. You need to come up with a counter. So if the thought is saying, you're a failure, you're a shameful, you get the Word of God, you say, no, the Word says, I am the head and not the tail. That means I am above and not beneath. That means definitely I am not a failure. Amen. So if a thought comes that says, no one loves you because what you've done is very shameful, you take the Word of God and say, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and I am part of that world. Amen. So we need to create new thought patterns in our minds, like I mentioned with Dr. Caroline Leaf. We need to develop habits where we build new thought patterns. And the best way to do that, get the Word of God. Find out what the Word of God says about whatever situation you're in. There's always something in the Word of God. Like I just said in that verse, it says he's the lifter of our head. You're feeling down. You're like this. God's like, I want you to look up. I want you to look up to the throne. The more we look to Jesus, the more we become like him. Amen. I've just got a visual thing. So you and I, we decide every moment of every day who we are, what we believe in. And we get a second chance every second, amen? So if this second I'm thinking I'm a failure, the next second I can think, oh no, I am not a failure, amen? Let's become so conscious of what we're putting into our minds, what we're feeding our minds. Become conscious to the point that as soon as a thought comes, you recognize and say, that's an arrow from the devil. You cast it down, amen, immediately. And the second thing to do to help us deal with shame is we need to worship ourselves out of the valley of shame, amen. Worship is one of the most powerful weapons we can use against the devil, against anything the devil throws at us. When we worship, we say, God, you're sovereign. I honor you above whatever is going on in my life. So if it is shame, I'm saying, God, yes, I've done this shameful thing, or I've got this feeling of shame. However, I choose to glorify you above that. Amen. So if you're feeling sick, same thing. God, you are sovereign. I choose to worship you above my sickness. Amen. So when we worship God, we make him bigger than the situation that we're going in. We make God bigger than the shame, than that distorted view of ourselves. Amen. And the third thing is we need to be vulnerable with God. Amen. Like I shared with you that story of my parents. I've probably honestly fully dealt with it in the last 5 years when I've just been like, you know what? It wasn't my fault. Even if it was, so what? It happened. I can't change it. So I needed to confront, you know, the truth. And the truth is, that situation happened. I don't need to keep living in that moment. I don't need to relive those feelings of regret. So we need to be honest and say, God, I am feeling shame in this area. And then ask the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, show me why I'm feeling shame in this area. Sometimes you'll be surprised at what comes up. It's either something like, oh, okay, I didn't know that's why I'm feeling shame in that area. But once you know why you're feeling shame in an area, then just say, Holy Spirit, give me the strategy, you know, to cover that, to deal with it, so that you move on from that forever. Amen. Shame is a spirit that has to be dealt with God's way. Amen. So shame is such a strong emotion that can stop you and I just enjoying our lives. Amen. We can be on like fugitives in the spirit, that we can continually be running away from the call of God. We can be continually running away from the communion of saints because we have shame. So this morning, I'm just going to ask, I'll get the team to come back up. I'm going to ask everyone and say, what is in your bag? What are you lugging around? What are you carrying around in your life that's, you know, that's weary on you? Imagine this morning that you've got your physical bag. Fill it with whatever it is that it is. Shame, anger, guilt, bitterness. And I want you to give it to God. Amen. I want you to say, God, this is what's in my bag. This is what's in my bag. This is what's wearing me down. And today, as a church, we're choosing to become free, amen? It says in the word, he gives beauty for ashes, amen? So this morning, let's give God our bag of issues, stuff, and let him exchange with us that peace, that freedom, that joy that comes with us giving it to him, amen? So I want us to drop the baggage, literally just drop it at the cross of Christ. You and I have a great future ahead of us, regardless of the past that we've had. Amen. There's one person who is destined for a bad future, and that's the enemy. That's the devil. And his plan is to get as many people to go with him to his bad, destined future. The rest of us, we are destined for a bright future. Amen. For a glorious future with God. So let us allow God to take away the shame of load. And let us have a beautiful exchange. So as we give him our load, God is giving us his word, amen? And in his word, we have freedom. In his word, we have joy, amen? We are doing a beautiful exchange, amen? So just imagine, you give God the backpack, and he's like, here, my child. This is one book. But it's got joy. It's got love. It's got peace. It's got understanding. It's got all good things in this one package. And I've just exchanged my load with 10 books or so. Amen. So to finish, I'm just going to, if you guys could stand up. Just have your moment with God. I don't know. Like, I really felt strongly to bring this word this morning. It's not, you know, a jumping word. It's not a screaming word. And I tried to fight it too, like last night. I'm like, God, I need a better word. You know, I need a word that, you know, that can pump people up. And I honestly felt the Holy Spirit bringing me back saying, no, you need to talk about this. You need, because today God wants us to start afresh, amen. You know how countries have Independence Days? Today will be our Independence Day where we live shame-free. We live guilt-free. We live free from all those negative emotions that come with shame. Amen? So I'm just going to declare and decree Isaiah 61 verse 7 over our lives. It reads, instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. Amen? You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Amen. I'll read that again. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. Amen. That's the exchange. God is saying, the shame, the dishonor you've experienced, I'm going to take that, and you are going to enjoy double, the honor. Amen. You're going to enjoy double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Everlasting is eternal. Amen. So that will be ours. Amen. So I'm just going to get the guys to lift the worship and just pray and just give God the shame. Give God whatever insecurities, whatever it is that's hindering you from fully experiencing the love that God has for you. Amen.